something a little bit different. The same idea, but in the past I've asked two or three questions at the beginning and then answered one usually. This time I'm going to ask two or three questions that are all very similar to each other, and through the course of this year I think we'll actually answer all of them, because they are all pretty much the same topic with slight variations, and we'll see how maybe those variations can make a difference. I may have mentioned in the past that for a while I was, I guess you can call it the unofficial posek for the Maccabees. The one of my close Talmidim, really wonderful guy, Emmanuel Shalev, was a member of the original Maccabees. He's no longer a member of the Maccabees, but he was a member of the original Maccabees. And they used to have the most interesting shilas that they would come to me with. For example, he would always just forward me the emails, just in case I wouldn't believe him that these are the issues that came to them. You're familiar with the Maccabees, right? I don't have to explain what they are. It's Hanukkah time, no? Okay, so I always wanted to give like a Hanukkah shir Makkah Shilas, but okay. So anyway, he forwarded me the following email that he got from someone in Texas. We are a large Catholic church in McKinney, Texas, and wondered what possibility of the Maccabees performing at our church might be. We know you will be in our area on January 30th, 2012. We have a very acoustically live room that seats 1,000 plus. We are working on our 2011-2012 budget now. This is obviously a few years ago. My 9-year-old son loves their music. I came upon them on the internet when I was looking for seasonal Jewish melodies to play at Mass on Purim, which was a Sunday this year. Not making any of this up. He got so excited that he had me read the entire book of Esther to him. Okay? So he sent me this email, and all he added was, "We really want to do this. Is there any way this is mutter?" So that was one. Another Makashaila, also related, and I'll give you the whole sequence of emails. He forwarded me the following email that was sent to their manager, or whoever makes their bookings, who's apparently, her name is Elisheva, because the email says, "Hi Elisheva, I would like to discuss with you our thoughts on using the group for this event Rosie O'Donnell will be hosting, along with Tom Brokaw, moderating a panel on the Middle East. Oprah Winfrey will also be making a special appearance. Event honors the CEO of Discovery Communications, David Zaslav, and raises money for the UJA to take place at 583 Park Avenue, New York." So they Google the address, 583 Park Avenue, and what do you know? 583 Park Avenue is? So it seems like a church, but they weren't sure what to make of it, because there were pictures of a chuppah and of bar and bat mitzvahs that took place there. So it seems almost like it was a simcha hall that may have also been a church, but was very unclear from the website exactly what it was. So they said, well, what exactly is it? You know, they responded, what is this place? And an email that they got 3 weeks later, on February 2nd, 2012, reads as follows. "Good to hear from you again. 583 Park has not been a church for many years. It has become a major special events venue in New York and is used by all groups for their private and corporate events." So right now it sounds pretty good. Apparently it used to be a church, no longer a church. Now it's just used as a place where people, it's a beautiful building and they just make events there. But then the person continues. "I personally respect all religions." So now you know a drush is about to start, right? "Being Jewish myself, I understand, but did not know that there was a rule or law that forbade appearances in spaces that were formerly used for other types of religious purposes. I assume the group's orthodoxy is the reason for their hesitation. Has this situation been brought before a rabbi for clarification?" That's me. "The fact that the UJA, a major fundraiser for Jewish causes, is holding this event to raise money to help the Jewish people should be a motivator for their participation. The group would be performing on stage in the main room and on balconies of the same. It is possible that they could perform downstairs at the cocktail reception. That is a space that was not used for religious services, but I hope the group will reconsider and perform in the main room during the walk experience." I'm not sure what that means. Then the third email, a few days later, when they responded saying, "Oh, great, it's not a church, but let's think about this and let me do a little more research. So the guy responds, hope all is well. I've consulted. No, this was actually before they responded at all. I've consulted with several conservative and Orthodox friends and a rabbi, denomination not disclosed, of the rabbi. All said, as long as the former church has been desanctified, there would be no problem for those of the Jewish faith performing in said venue. Okay. So their response on February 6, 2012, hi, thank you for looking into it for us. We have done the same thing and were given a similar answer. However, we also did a bit of research and it seems that there are still services held there about once a week. Do you know if there's any way we can verify that? Meaning the person told them in two separate emails, don't worry, it's not used as a church anymore. It's fine now and it's been desanctified. My conservative friend, my Orthodox friend, and my rabbi all said that it's totally fine because it's not used as a church anymore. And they respond, you know, we did our own research, and apparently it is still used as a church once a week, I think they said. Yeah, about once a week. So then a fourth email, February 12, 2012, 6 days later, Elisheva, I was misinformed. The space is a functioning church, so I assumed the group would not be able to appear on stage. But could they sing in the hallway outside the main sanctuary as guests enter the main room? Okay, so now they're Shiloh over here. So Shiloh number two, the second Makkah Shiloh, is they want to know can they perform in a place that's primarily used as a catering hall. It's primarily used as a place for functions of all different sorts, including bar and bat mitzvahs, according to the website, and chuppahs, you know, weddings, all different things. But it's an old church, and it never completely ceased from being a church. It still hosts services once a week. And they're not going to perform in the sanctuary. Are they allowed to perform outside of the sanctuary for a UJA event? Okay, that's Shiloh number two. Shiloh number three, we're going to do three Shilohs tonight. It was not from the Maccabees. It's a different Shiloh. I used to do, very similar to what the kind of shir that we do here, I used to do as a mishmar in DRS, where I would just, I would run through the Shilohs that I got that week with the Talmidim, and we'd go through the different possibilities of how to answer the Shilohs. And once I was in the middle of teaching the Mishmar, and my cell phone rang. Now, typically during a shir or a class, I would never ever answer my phone because that's completely unprofessional and wrong and, you know, batala and wrong on so many levels. But the whole point of that shir was to deal with questions that I got, you know, when people called. And I saw that it was clearly going to be, you know, like 80% of the time when my cell phone rings, it's going to be someone asking questions. I thought, this will be fun. We'll answer it together. So I answered the phone. I answered by saying, you're on speaker. Is it a Shiloh that you want to share with them? No. Okay. So what was the Shiloh? So someone that was a Talmud of mine from a few years earlier, who had a pretty difficult upbringing. His father was very ill for most of his childhood. And one of his brothers had turned to drugs and became addicted to narcotics. And in recent months, this brother had gotten a lot of help and he had been attending Narcotics Anonymous meetings. And there was some sort of Narcotics Anonymous ceremony where family was invited to show support. Like, I don't know if it's a celebration of how many months clean or whatever it was, some sort of ceremony where the family was supposed to come to show support. So this Talmud of mine, we'll call him David, again, because that's his name, was running late to the meeting, and he was following his GPS's directions, and he called his mom to tell his mom, you know, I'm going to be a little late to the meeting. The father was very ill, was not going to be there. He called his mom and said, I'm going to be a little late. She said, no problem, the entrance to the church is on 45th Street. And he didn't even have a Hava Amina that he was going to a church. He was just given an address that it's a Narcotics Anonymous thing for his brother. And now he's on the way there. His brother's expecting him. His mother's expecting him. And she tells him the entrance to the church is on 45th Street. So he had no idea what to do. Is he allowed to go? Must he go? Can't he go? He was completely taken aback by that. Now, I did a little searching online for Narcotics Anonymous. Hopefully no one will get my search history and see that I've been looking for Narcotics Anonymous. But if you look for Narcotics Anonymous meetings around where you live, you will find that 90-something percent of them are in churches. Usually we'll say in the basement of the church, it's not in the sanctuary of the church, but that's where these meetings happen. They happen in churches all the time. So it shouldn't have been that surprising. It just didn't dawn on him. It's not something that he had thought of. Great. These are our three shilas. What are the considerations? What do we have to think about if we want to answer these shilas properly? What you got?
First, what's the issue of going to
a... Okay. Is there an issur to go into a church? Well, before we could answer whether there's an issur to go into a church, we first have to figure out what would Chazal call a church?
Would they call it a Beis Avodah Zarah?
Would they call it a Beis Avodah Zarah? Right? And whether they would call it a Beis Avodah Zarah may relate to...
Whether Christianity is
Avodah Zarah, right? So, would they call it a Beis Avodah Zarah? If they would not call it a Beis Avodah Zarah, what would it be then? Meaning, it's definitely not... It's not a shul, right? So... What? Okay. Losivnel Lilim, you should stay away from Minos, things like this. Good.
Like going to the building showing support that you, in a sense, approve of what's going on in the building?
What would be the issue of going in the building and not going into the sanctuary? Meaning, let's say you're in a building where there's a lot of other things going on in the building. So Maris Ayin might be an issue. What's the Maris Ayin? Good. It looks like you might be going to pray. What if you have a church where there's a big sign on the front that says UJA event tonight, raising money for Jews, right? And with that, so and there's no church services going on at that time. Maybe that would take care of the Marisayan issues. Would it make a difference if you go in the front door or a side door? Would it make a difference? Which room of the church it's in. So all of these are issues. Any other issues that you think we need to figure out? Yeah.
UJA, they're allowed to have it in a church.
Okay. Kasha Lemaise, you know, like, yeah.
How much of a church does the church need to be considered a church?
Are you talking about the different denominations of Christianity?
No, I'm talking about different let's say, times.
Okay. What if you're in the airport and there's a room designated for
chapel?
For a chapel.
There are schools that rent out their gym. There are public schools that their gym, you know, one day a week is used as for services. Is that a church? Is that whole building a church now?
Very good. Someone just asked me. They have they vote in a local, not a public school, some sort of Catholic school. And there's I think it was a voting question. It was a something question. They had to be in the Catholic school for something or other. I don't remember what it was. And they clearly pray at some point but it's primarily a school. They just have, you know, lahavdil, the way yeshivas, you know, have school and classes and whatever, and they also have davening. They have tefillah during the day. So when do you label something a church, and when do you label it primarily? Like this catering hall, this former church / catering hall, which is still sort of a church. So do we call it a church, or do we call it a catering hall where Christians a lot of times pray?
Well, like what about a YMCA? They have services there on
Right. Okay, good. So all that's certainly one of the issues that has to be dealt with. That maybe all of these shilas are not the same, because two of them are about the three shilas. The first shilah was about performing in the sanctuary of a church, of a real church in Texas, right? Which would seem like, not that Texas is any worse than a church anywhere else, but I'm saying that would seem like the most intense issue of really, there's no doubt that it's a church and you're in the sanctuary. You have the shiloh of the third shiloh, which is one level down, where it's definitely in a church, but it's not in the sanctuary. And then you have the shiloh of the UJA event, which is in a place that's really mostly a catering hall. It's just occasionally used as a church. Okay, so
occasionally once a week.
Right. Okay, consistently, but not as consistently as it's used for other things. It hosts events, you know, came out every day. This is the impression you get. Certainly from the website, it's the impression you get that it's the hottest place to be. It's the most, you know, it's a very hush of a place. Okay, so we have to figure out what's the halachic status of a church, whether Christianity is considered Avodah Zarah. Is there a difference between entering the sanctuary and entering other rooms? Is there a difference which door you enter? And is there a difference whether you're going during the times of services or at other times? Now, is Christianity Avodah Zarah? What do you know about that?
Machlokas.
What do you mean, machlokas? Who says what? Rambam says unequivocally, in the strongest possible terms, that Christianity is avodah zarah. Shezu ha'emuna ha'notzrish shetoin tainas ha'mashiach, that they claim that they have a Messiah, says the Rambam, kulan ovdei avodah zarah. They're all of the avodah zarah. The whole religion is avodah zarah. That the Rambam is as clear as can be. In contrast, the Rambam holds to Islam, where he says it's not avodah zarah at all. It's an interesting discussion about a mosque. A mosque is also a fascinating discussion. Not our topic for tonight, but is a mosque a base avodah zarah for a Jew? So the Rambam holds that a mosque is definitely not, that Islam is definitely not avodah zarah. I'm told that Rav Nevin Sal Shlita, the Rav of the Old City, holds that a mosque has miktas kedushas beis haknesses, because goyim have a chiyuv to pray also. Rav Moshe writes that way in a tshuva about school prayer, that goyim have a chiyuv to pray. It's not one of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach, but one of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach is you have to believe in God. And what kind of relationship could one possibly have with God if they don't pray? It's a fascinating insight. It's a very strong argument for just how important tefillah is. The Moshe says, what kind of Ribbono Shel Olam do you have if you can't talk to the Ribbono Shel Olam? So if they have to believe in God, then they have to. It has to be that they have a chiyuv to pray. So that's what Moshe writes. At least be'ez tzara, that they have a chiyuv to pray. But anyway, sort of Nevin Sal holds that it has sort of like a little bit of a, you're not allowed to destroy a mosque. Not that, all the other, but you're not allowed to destroy a mosque, he holds. But it's not avodah zarah, according to the Rambam, very clearly. But Christianity, he says, is definitely avodah zarah. Anything that involves a shituf, it involves a trinity, so that's, the Rambam says, certainly avodah zarah. There is a passage in the Me'iri that seemingly disagrees and seems to assume Christianity is not avodah zarah. It's a difficult Me'iri, and the Me'iri sort of, when it came to halachic process throughout the generations, the Me'iri was almost sort of written out, not purposely, but he was lost. The Me'iri was lost for many centuries, so you're not going to find like the Shach quoting a Me'iri. They'll say, you know, it was just, he wasn't made part of the halachic literature for the course of centuries. So the Me'iri, you know, a lot of times people like to quote that Me'iri, but it seems the halacha that we would consider Christianity to be avodah zarah. Now
there's a
Tosfos in Sanhedrin. So Tosfos Sanhedrin of Samach Gimel. Tosfos appears in Megillah also, and I think in Bechoros as well, where Tosfos quotes the Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. The Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about that a person shouldn't have a non-Jewish business partner. Why? Because just in case, he's going to want to make you take a Shavua in a forbidden way. He's going to want you to take a Shavua in a serious way. I want you to swear by my God, or something like that. And Tosfos quotes the Rashbam, and what if you want him to swear? That would be even worse, because you're going to be causing him to swear by an avodah zarah. So Rabbeinu Tam says, no, it's heter gomer to have him swear. Rishbam says, no, you're not allowed to make him swear. Rabbeinu Tam says, totally heter gomer to make him swear, because they don't really swear on their God. And anyway, even if they do swear on their God, it's not avodah zarah. It's not avodah zarah. So what does Rabbeinu Tam mean by that? So that, there's some discussion about that. Several achronim assume, Rabbi Yaakov Emdin made a big deal about it. Other achronim also assume this way. Rabbeinu Tam didn't mean that it's not avodah zarah. He meant that for them, it's not avodah zarah. Meaning that a guy has no iser to believe in shituf. It's not a violation of avodah zarah. For a Jew to believe in shituf, it's definitely avodah zarah. Now it's important to realize, and there's a very critical distinction that has to be made. A lot of times when we talk about whether something is or isn't avodah zarah, what people hear when you say those words is whether something is true or is not true. That if it's avodah zarah, then it's not true, and if it's not avodah zarah, then it's okay. Those are different things. Whether something could not be avodah zarah and still be completely, totally wrong. So shituf, the idea that God has some sort of partnership with, you know, two other beings, it's complete apikorsis, right? It's definitely wrong. The question is whether it's avodah zarah. And even when it comes to apikorsis, you know, a lot of times we discuss, is this apikorsis, is it not apikorsis, right? Is it apikorsis to believe that that shatness isn't wool and linen, shatness is wool and cotton? Is that apikorsis? No, it's not apikorsis. It's just wrong. I mean, you can be wrong without being an apikores, which is a big chiddush a lot of times to people in today's day and age. They assume, as one of my colleagues in DRS likes to say, Rabbi Balsam, he always says, the current definition of apikoros is someone who doesn't agree with me. That's the definition of apikoros sometimes, you get the impression. Anytime someone doesn't agree with me, that's not true. There could be people that are wrong that are not an apikoros, and there could be things that are dead wrong, but are not necessarily able to desire it. Yeah?
Do we have the same mitzvah of emuna as the going to?
So as we're saying, maybe our requirements are a little bit, we have to be more correct than they have to be. Meaning maybe it could be they're allowed to believe in it, even if it's wrong. That maybe that's what Rabbeinu Tam is saying, that they're permitted to believe in it, even though obviously it's wrong, God doesn't have any partners, we're not permitted to believe in it. Either way, it would seem that Lahalacha, and the Behuda writes this way, certainly, Lahalacha, we would say in Shulchan Aruch, that Christianity has a din of Avodah Zarah. So, and probably all the different denominations, because as long as they believe in the Trinity, it has been a
vote. Yeah. I don't think Protestants really believe in the Trinity.
Oh, they don't believe in the Trinity?
I'm not an expert, I really don't know. Unitarians don't, but there's some kind of outside.
Yeah, I don't think any of these churches were. I mean, it seems like they were just regular. I don't know. It didn't seem that it was. Either way, you know, there's an argument to be made that for a Jew to even go into a mosque is a base of a desire for a Jew, because. Even if it's not Avodah Zarah per se, but to worship another god would be a violation of something, meaning to go and pray to Muhammad or something, or you know that Muhammad should intercede on your behalf, or pray in a way that would clearly be us. Meaning a Jew is not allowed to practice Islam. Since Eliezer holds very strongly, since Eliezer even has a tshuva, shockingly, where he says that, comes Parshas Chayisara, and they open up Kever Yitzchak by Maris HaMachpela, since Eliezer holds you're not allowed to go there. Because it's a mosque. It's used all year as a mosque, and they open it up for Chayesari. Now, many other posts come held not that way. Rav Yashiv and Rosh Zalman, and many, many others held not that way. That's the Eliezer held that way. So it's a very confusing thing. Rosh Hashanah holds that there's an Isra Daraisa of Al Tifnu El Elilim to go into a mosque. That anything that's apikorsus, anything that's against any of the Yigimli Kari Amuna, you're not allowed to go into a place where they do. So Islam may not be Avodah Zarah, but it is against one of the Yud Gimel Ikari Amuna. One second, which of the Ikari Amuna is it against?
Moshe was the last Navi.
That Moshe was the greatest Navi. Not the last Navi, but the greatest Navi. And the Lokam Kemosha Od, they hold Muhammad, outdid Moshe, right? So that's apikorsus also. Rav Shechter, maybe Rav Shach also.
What about university? Yeah, atheism.
Okay, so Christianity is Avodah Zarah. Let's work with that assumption that it is Avodah Zarah. So now there is a Mishnah, Maseches Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Aleph, where the Mishnah tells us that a person is not allowed to enter a city where they're having an Avodah Zarah festival. During the Avodah Zarah festival, because it gives the impression that you're going to worship the Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara explains, it's not just going into a city while they're doing a festival, anything that gives the impression that you're going to worship the Avodah Zarah. Like, for example, you dropped some money in front of the idol, and you want to bend down on the floor and pick it up, and it's going to look like you're bowing to the Avodah Zarah. Or, for example, there's a fountain. The idol itself is a fountain, or it has a fountain in front of it, and you bend down to drink from the fountain, or you put your mouth on it, it looks like you're kissing it. Any of these things give the impression of being over Avodah Zarah, and they're all aser. The Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeya, Simen Kuf Mem Tesif Aleph, writes as follows: Ir Sha'osim Ba Yerid Biyom Chagam, a city where they're having some sort of pagan festival. And over the Avodah Zarah come from all over the place and gather there. You're allowed to be outside the city. You're not allowed to be in the city where it's happening. But if you're already right outside the city, you're allowed to go inside. Haholech mimakom lemakom, asur laver ba imaderech miuchadla. If there's a path that leads directly to that city, you shouldn't go on that path. Meaning, even though you don't plan on going to that city, if you're going in a place where all signs point to that city, it still makes it look like you're going there for that festival, and therefore you're not allowed to go there at the time of the festival. Says the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Beis, Bamedvar Mamurim Bach Sinai. Aval Ben Ir Mutter. That's if you're not from there, but if you're from there, it's Mutter. Vim holich bishayara mutter. And if you're traveling with a whole caravan of people, then it's mutter. Why? Why is traveling with a caravan of people better? Because when you're traveling with a caravan of people, it's obvious that you're going wherever the caravan's going and you're not actually trying to go to the city. You're just on this long journey that happens to pass by town. Says the Rama, and this is critical. Chatzer shal avodus kochavim, says the Rama. If you have a chatzer of an avodah zarah, what would be, halachically speaking, what would be a chatzer of avodah zarah? The parking lot of a church, perhaps the yard in front of the church, maybe even the ancillary rooms inside of the church, the basement where they have the Narcotics Anonymous meetings and things like that, where they don't actually worship. Maybe that would also have a din of a chatzer shel avodah zarah. So what does Rama say? Yesh omrim tedino ki'ir shel avodah zarah. The Rashba holds has a din of a city of avodah zarah. And what's the halacha by a city? What did the Gemara say? You're not allowed to go into it when they're having their pagan festival. But when they're not having their pagan festival, you're allowed to go in. So to say that it has a din of an ir shel avodah zarah is actually a kula. So says the Rama, b'zman she'enov l'chav miskaptim sham l'tarfusan mutar l'kaneshan. If they're not going there and doing avodah zarah right now, you're allowed to go into the chatzer. So far, it sounds pretty good. It sounds promising for the Maccabees. V'yeshomrim, then he says, but there's another opinion, the Bekolin Yin Aser, that it's always Aser. Imein derech overbo l'makom acher, unless it's a path to get somewhere else, which the rooms inside of a church are not a path to get anywhere else. There they are where you're going to. Aval k'sh derech over l'makom acher l'kuli alma mutter. V'chein minak pashut leilich derech osa chatzel l'makom acher, fine. Umi kol makom, and even if you say, like the second opinion, that's like the first opinion rather, that's more machmir, and that's more mekel, midas chasidus hu l'israchik mi leilich bo, im yesh lo derech acheres chatzel kamohu. Meaning, I'm sorry, even if you say like that, even assuming that you're allowed to use it to get somewhere else, you're allowed to use it as a shortcut, it's a midas chasidus not to even use it as a shortcut. It's a midas chasidus not to go through it at all. So essentially, the Rashba holds the art of a church is just like the city, so it's mutter. The Rush holds it's aser. So what are we passing?
The first church, the first question, they were going during services, no?
No, it was going to be a concert, a special event with the Maccabees. I don't know what kind of church this was. I mean, they were doing Purim planning and, like, you know, but whatever. That's irrelevant, I guess. But it didn't sound like it was during services. It sounded like, that one's obviously going to be Aser. You know, you can't go into a sanctuary of a church and, you know, make... We had to disappoint them on that one and say they couldn't take that job.
This sort of festival, would it have to be a Avodah Zarah specifically, Kfira, or could it be also like Neged Torah kind of festival? Like I'm thinking like the Gay Pride Festival.
Or something like that. That would be more of an issue of Misayaya, you know, or not even Misayaya. You know, there are three Yisurim. There's something called Lifnei Iver, where you're causing someone to do an Isser. There's Misayaya, where you're helping them do an Isser, but they could have done it without you. And there's another thing of encouraging an Isser. And that's also problematic. The Mishnayis and Shviyas talk about that. Mishnayis talk about if you're walking down near a farm road during Shemitah, and you see a guy working his field, you can say, good luck with all your work today. Because he's not doing an aveira, he's a guy. But if you see a Jew working the field during Shemitah, you're not allowed to say, good luck with your work today. Even though he's not from, and it'll be such a Kiddush Hashem that you're so nice to him, can't say that about an aveira. Can't say good luck. Like we discussed once with the fellow who came back from shul on a snowy day, and his Jewish neighbor had used the snowblower to clear his path. You can't say, oh, awesome, thanks so much for it. Like, you're not supposed to encourage averos. So that would probably fall more into that category. But the Avodah Zarah issue is its own, you know, it's its own chamerdike issue. And why do I say it's a chamerdike issue? Take the Narcotics Anonymous case. What consideration did no one mention here that we probably should have that makes the Narcotics Anonymous case completely different than the Makkah Shilas cases?
Could be
Sakonis and Fashas for the brother. There is no doubt that someone who is an addict is someone who's Yeshba Sakana. So if we're dealing, if this is an Isser of Avodah Zarah, so it's Yaharig Val Yavar. And you'd have to say, yeah, it's Sakonis and Fashas, but Yaharig Val Yavar, nothing you can do.
Someone else? Yaharig Val Yavar on someone else?
Yeah, I'm not allowed to violate the Avera, even if an Avodah Zarah Gidur HaShvich Stam, even if someone else is, right? Yeah.
The question is not whether the brother could go into the church, the question is whether David could go into the church.
Right, but maybe, the reason they invite family is because family is very critical to the
process,
to the recovery process. And it could be that any failure to show support could set him off. Cause him to relapse could be a problem in the recovery process.
What's the difference between that and going to St. John's or Seton Hall or one of these schools?
I think the difference would be that primarily they're schools. It's also an interesting discussion. I was once asked a guy who graduated St. John's and the caps and gowns had crosses on them. And he wanted to know if he's allowed to wear caps and gowns in general. I mean, don't Google where they come from, you know, like, because then you'll never want. It's all based on Nefel Desire. I mean, there's reason to be Mekel, but it's all based on Nefel Desire. But certainly, if it has a cross on it, it seems to be problematic. So, okay, but I'm not going to get into that right now.
What makes something a church?
I think it's primarily used as a.
If it has a sanctuary dedicated to prayer services.
Like, did he say how often? Like, even the most churches now, they have.
It's once a week, right? I don't know. I don't know if there's a. I think if it's designated as a church, it's designated as a place
it's
for.
The church versus like it's called a school. Or
right.
School,
yeah. If it's miyuchad for the prayer, that's what I would think. The Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos even discusses why it is that we live in a lot of cities that have avodah zarah. Every city in India, let's say, you know, every city in India pretty much has a temple that houses the avodah zarah of that city. Why is there a Chabad house in so many of these cities? Why are people allowed to? Well, that's where Nebuch, the terrible event happened. But if you ever study the name of that city, it used to be called Bombay. They changed the name because Bombay they viewed as a British corruption of the real Shem Avodah Zarah, which it really was. And once the British were out of the picture, they changed it back to the real Shem Avodah Zarah, meaning the cities are all named after Mamash Avodah Zarah, and many of those Avodah Zarah still exist and are still in temples that are at the center of those cities. It's crazy that this happens on Earth in 2014, but there is real, you know, real Avodah Zarah. But anyway, there's good reason to argue that one would not be allowed to say the name of the city. Yeah, the Rambam Perush Mishnayos writes that Yodei Alecha Shekol Ir Shel Uma Sheyeh Lehem Beis Tifla Shu Beis Avodah Zarah Below Safek Osa Yer Asur Lavar Babekavana. Any city that has such an Avodah Zarah, you're not allowed to go in on purpose. But Kol Shein Shasul Adurba Aval Anachnu Tachas Yedeim Bavanosenu Nebuch. We live amongst, you know, we're under their control, their jurisdiction. V'shochnim ba'artzim anusim, v'niskayim banim ashkasim v'vadim sham Elohim, ma'isi de'odim etz ve'even, v'im ha'ir dina kein kalvachomer din beis avodah zarah atzmo sha'asur lanu kimat l'roso v'kol shekein li'kanes. Ram says it would be asur kimat to even see a beis avodah zarah, kol shekein never to enter into a beis avodah zarah. Now, we have 2 days in the Ramadah, when you're talking about the other rooms, the chatzer. So the Ramah has he has a yesh omrim, v'yesh omrim. First sheet is Mekel, as long as it's not a time of services. Second sheet is Machmir. What do you do when the Ramah has two Yesh Omrims, or Shulchan Aruch has two Yesh Omrims? So, if it's a Yesh Omrim, if it's a Stam and a Yesh Omrim, we go with the Stam. If it's a Yesh Omrim v'Yesh Omrim, we go with the second V'Yesh Omrim. And that's what says Eliezer Paskins in the Tshuva, in Chelik Yudalit, Simon Sadi Aleph, he says, V'yadua dehecha sharamah kosev Yesh Omrim v'Yesh Omrim halacha ki Yesh Omrim basra. Halacha is like the second Yeshomrim. So we see from here that it's Asr Amidina Bakalinin, Likanis Lechatzer Shlavodazara, Afilu Bizman Shaynov Dichav Miskapsim Sham, even when they're not there to worship, you're not allowed to go in, based on that first daya, the second daya in the Ramah. If you want to use it as a shortcut, that's mutter meikra din. But even that, the Rama adds midas chasidus. You should try to avoid doing. So if we stop there, we're in trouble over here. That using any of these areas would at least have a din of a chatzer of a beis avodah zarah. There is strong shitos in Rishonim that say that would be mutter when it's not a time of prayer, but it sounds that the Rama doesn't hold that way. Interestingly, Tosos Maseches Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Zayin also says that we have to be marchik mi Pesach Avodah Zarah kol ma sheyachal. What does that mean? Marchik mi Pesach Avodah Zarah? And this is actually in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch Paskins, if you're passing by a Beis Avodah Zarah, don't just keep walking right past it, go further away. Be marchik yourself a little bit. Go out of your way to show that you're distancing yourself from the Beis Avodah Zarah. The most common shaila a rabbi would get about these things is people who are taking vacations and they want to go see beautiful architecture, or people who are in architecture school and the best architecture in the world is church architecture. So they want to go into a church, they want to see the beauty of it, they want to admire it. So this is something that's very challenging for many people, but it's something that really we have to try to stay away from. The halacha and Shulchan Aruch is, you're not even supposed to walk by directly. You're supposed to sort of be marchik yourself from the church. Now, it's very likely that a church does not have a din of a base of Avodah Zarah in all of its senses. Because a base of Avodah Zarah, when we talk about, let's say, these temples in India, what makes them a base of Avodah Zarah? Right. Meaning, what makes them a base of Avodah Zarah is not the fact that people practice Avodah Zarah inside of them. It's that the Avodah Zarah is housed in the building. And the building is built for the covenant of that Avodah Zarah. When it comes to Christianity, you don't have that. Because there is no Avodah Zarah, a physical manifestation of Avodah Zarah there that they're worshipping. They're worshipping an idea of Avodah Zarah, but whatever statues they have of Mary or whatever, or Yashka, whatever they have, whatever statues they have, aren't really the Avodah Zarah. They're just supposed to be representative in nature. Now, it's sure, Shachter often points out that those who are less educated amongst the Christian world, those who, he says, a lot of his neighbors in Washington Heights, who are more primitive in their understanding of their own religion, will mistakenly treat it like an Avodah Zarah. And he said, like in hospitals sometimes, if you're, someone mentioned all these St. John's or whatever, all these different hospitals that have things in each room, are you allowed to say a brach in front of these things? Are you allowed to, he said it may depend on what neighborhood you're in. If you're in a neighborhood where people understand that that's not the Avodah Zarah, so then it's not treated like an Avodah Zarah. But if you're in a neighborhood where people think that you're supposed to worship that, but generally speaking, that's not what they believe. They don't worship the statue, and therefore the church itself is not a base of Avodah Zarah. But that will have nafkaminas in terms of, can you be an architect to help build the church or something like that? Maybe there's more room to make. But this halacha of going in is not about whether it's a base of Avodah Zarah. This halacha is more about an issue of chashad, that it looks like you're going to be oved Avodah Zarah. So that would apply whether you're going into a Buddhist temple or whether you're going into a Christian church. Either way, it looks like you're going to do Avodah Zarah. So it would seem that it would be problematic on that level. I just want to share with you before we conclude, Rav Moshe is very, very strict about these things in general. He was asked about ball games that happened in like a church rec room or in a church gym or something, and he was very against it. He said, Vaday asur, av she'in shom tsuros, deharchik me'ala, darkech l'ksiv, zuminos. He says you have to stay as far away from these things as possible. Rav Vadya also, in Yabiyo Merchel Gzayin, Simin Yud Beis, he says, and a lot of things that people, he was asked, like going to, you're a politician and there's a state funeral or there's a funeral of an important government official, can you go to such a funeral in a church? Mishum Eva, he says a lot of things that people are generally cry Eva for. He says, Ein latirum bizman hazeh. He says, when you're dealing with Gayim osim alilos barasha, yesh lach l'sheyal lav alila. If you live in a just society where people can't just, you know, do whatever they want, it's not in the Wild West where people could just attack you for your religious beliefs. So he says he's not convinced that we can use Eva as an excuse. However, Rav Sternbach in a tshuva, and I've heard this quoted in the name of. Some hold, rabbis say, I was so excited today, it was the first time I actually found it in print. Rav Sternbach in a tshuva discusses voting in a church. Very often this comes up, it happened here in Queens. Just last year, Rabbi Erlbaum told me, Erlbaum teaches science here, teaches computers here. He told me that they had an issue here where the voting station was in a church, and Rabbi Steinberg went nuts about it, and he got them to change it. He had them change it. So in Tshuvas Vanagos, he discusses about voting in a church in Johannesburg, and he says, you know, it's Mefurish and Shulchan Aruch, you're not even allowed to go within Dalet Amos, etc. Ulchara kanu ulam mechuber vayiroi lahachmir, aval kfima shemitzayin ashol meshami shulam gam lekol b'nei minei v'idos u'kinusim she'elam shum kesher emel shalem. It's a community room. It's the basement where they do Narcotics Anonymous meetings and Alcoholics Anonymous meetings and bingo games and I don't know. They do all sorts of different things. V'gam nichnasim bePesach acher meaPesach sheNichnasim b'Letuma. And you're not even going through the main entrance of the church. You're going through a side entrance. Remember the David when he called me said his mom just told him the entrance is on the side street, meaning don't go in through the main entrance. The entrance to this is on the side street. Nearish shebezeh in lahachmir b'diavad. I don't think you have to be machmir. He says shekvar mu'uchar midai michtei lashpil l'shanos. He says it's too late to get them to change the voting location. Well, what for the sake of voting? Meaning, how many people? You could have just as easily said so. Don't vote in this election. Get it changed for next election. You vote. He says no. You got to vote, but you'll vote in this election. But the evidence is okay. But l'chachila certainly you shouldn't do this. And then he just adds. That v'kan v'lo nichle v'nikar kein shaybol sham rak biyoma b'chiros. It's clearly that when you're going there at a time that's clearly for another purpose, you don't have that maris ha'ayin issue. The whole issue that it looks like you're bowing, you're going to do the avodah zarah is if you go in at a time of services or at a time that there's not obviously some other event going on. But if it's at a time where there are no services, service times are posted on the outside, right? And there's a sign that says UJA meeting or an NA meeting, you know, here. You know, so in those cases, in those situations, you go to the yarmulke or whatever. In those situations, it's obvious that you're not going to worship. So he says in those situations, he would think that it's mutter. So for the Maccabees at the UJA thing, said definitely not to go into this sanctuary, even though it's primarily no longer used as a church most of the time. But still, it was built to be a church, and it's still being used as a church sometimes. The other rooms, I wasn't sure, is really a problem in a building like that. Because a building like that, it's almost like going into a giant 20-story building where on one floor there happens to be a church that rents space. You're allowed to go into the building, meaning, because that whole building, the mahus of that building, was really about something else. So the Maccabees, I thought, in that case, were allowed to play outside of the sanctuary. For the Narcotics Anonymous, Shaila, it wasn't good. The meetings are in a basement. They're not in a... again, I thought, much like Rav Sternbach, it's obvious that he's not going in for that sake. And as long as he takes a side door, where it's clear that he's not going in for any services, nor is he going into the main entrance, I thought that he can show up to support his brother in that pikuach nefesh, kimat pikuach nefesh situation as well. But generally speaking, what we do have to realize is that it's not stam, you know, a nice thing to do and go look and see the architect. It's something that we have to be sensitive to. This is avodah zarah, and we should abhor avodah zarah, not want to get anywhere near avodah zarah. There are cases, b'shas hadchak, where you're not allowed to go into a base of avodah zarah, mamish, but maybe the side rooms and community rooms, there's room to be makil, but as an actual base of avodah zarah, we try to stay as far away as possible. Okay. Have a good Shabbos, everyone.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. so you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.